Hey there, and welcome to another deep dive. Today we're tackling network security, which is like so essential now, right? And the document you sent, wow, it's a gold mine.
Yeah, network security, it's always changing. Strategy, tech, it's like you're building a fortress, you know? You need walls, guards, maybe even a moat, right?
Okay, I'm intrigued. A digital fortress.
Uh-huh.
So, like, how do we build this thing? Your document mentioned these private network segments.
Right, so picture different levels of like security clearance. First, your intranet, that's the inner sanctum, just for employees, like top secret stuff.
Makes sense. The internet, like the heart of it all. What about extranets? It sounds more diplomatic.
Exactly, it's like a bridge carefully controlled to the outside. Say, for those vendors you trust, they need access, but limited.
It's like who sees what? Very controlled. Now, this screened subnet thing sounds serious.
It is, but good serious. It's a buffer zone, think DMZ like they used to call it. Between you and the wild, wild internet, your website goes there, public stuff, but your important data, safely behind another wall.
So, a checkpoint at our fortress. Heavily guarded, I hope.
You bet. And for even more security, there's the screened host, like your best guard, right there, checking every single thing going in and out. Nothing gets past them.
So we've got our inner sanctum, that's the internet,
Yeah.
then our diplomatic bridge, the extranet,
Yeah.
and protecting it all, the screened subnet, like a buffer, and the screened host, our super vigilant guard.
Exactly. Defense in depth, that's the key. Layers of security. An attacker might get through one, but then bam, another one slows them down, gives you time to, sound the alarm.
Like multiple locks on the door, right? Each one makes it way harder to break in.
Exactly. But to make it all work, we got to talk infrastructure, like the actual nuts and bolts of this digital fortress.
Let's get technical then. Hardware time. Where do we even start?
Well, we got to start with the unsung hero, the modem. It's the bridge between you and, well, everyone else on the internet, your ISP, all that translates those signals into, something your computer can actually use.
So the modem gets the data flowing. What happens next?
Ah, then comes the router, the traffic director. Picture an air traffic controller, but for data. It finds the fastest way for your data to travel, whether it's to another device on your network or out to the wider internet.
Sounds like the router keeps things running smoothly. Does it do security too?
Absolutely. It's not just about directing traffic. You can configure a router to be your first line of defense, block traffic from like known bad websites, suspicious IP addresses. It's like a digital bouncer, keeping the riffraff out.
So we've got our modem online, our router directing traffic. But what about all the devices? Like inside my network, how do they all connect?
Ah, that's where the switch comes in. Not as glamorous, maybe, but essential. See, the router, it's big picture, you and the internet. The switch, it handles all the local connections, makes sure data gets where it needs to go within your network, fast and efficient.
Okay, so routers are highways, switches are the local streets, keeping our data flowing. But how do switches actually do that?
Every switch has this thing, a MAC address table. It's like a directory, always updated, of every device connected to it. Each device has a MAC address, like a fingerprint, totally unique. So when data's sent, the switch checks, okay, this MAC address, where is it? Then boom, sends it to the right port, right device.
Sounds clever. No wonder my network doesn't just like jam up all the time. But do switches help with security too, or just traffic?
Oh, they're security players for sure. They can segment your network, make these smaller sections called VLANs, virtual local area networks. It's like extra security containment. If one part's breached, it can't easily spread to the rest.
VLANs, like those security doors in movies, slam shut when there's
Yeah.
trouble. This is like security with insecurity.
Exactly. And let's not forget those wireless access points, right? Everyone wants Wi-Fi these days, work from anywhere, all that.
Oh, yeah, the enablers of my flexible work schedule. But more seriously, isn't wireless security like extra important because of that?
You bet. Those access points, they need to be locked down tight. Strong passwords, encryption like WPA2 or WPA3, and keep that firmware updated. Otherwise, it's an open door for anyone who wants to snoop around your network.
So much to think about. We've got the modem, the router, the switch. Even securing those wireless access points. Anything else we need to keep this digital fortress strong?
We've built it, now we got to make sure it can take a hit. That's where redundancy comes in. Because let's face it, tech fails, sometimes at the worst possible moment.
Okay, so like a backup plan for our network, just in case.
Exactly. Power goes out. What happens to your network then? Your data? Can you even work?
I do not like thinking about that.
That's where redundancy saves the day. Backup generators, or a UPS, those battery backup things, they can mean the difference between a minor hiccup and total disaster.
Like those generators kicking on when the power goes out, keeping the essentials running.
Right. And it's not just power, spare hardware too. A spare router, a switch, even an extra modem sitting there ready to go. Something breaks, swap it out, you're back online in no time.
Like spare tires in the car. Hope you never need them, but so glad to have them when you do. Any other like network safety tips we should know?
Warranties, support. Don't skimp on those. Good warranty saves you money, headaches if something goes wrong. And trust me, good tech support when you need it, lifesaver.
Because fighting with tech support is like the opposite of fun.
Totally. Now, let's talk about network access control, or NAC. Remember all that talk about controlling access to our digital fortress? This takes it up a notch.
Even tighter security. I'm listening.
Think of NAC as the bouncer at a really exclusive club. It's guarding your network, checking everyone who tries to connect. No one gets in without the right credentials.
So no sneaking past this digital bouncer, huh? How does it actually work, though?
Couple of ways. Pre-admission control, that's like checking your ID at the door, making sure you're on the list before you can even step inside.
So you got to prove you belong there
Yay.
right from the start. What's the other way?
Post-admission control, that's the club's security team watching what's going on inside. Someone's acting suspicious, breaking the rules, they're out of there. Same with devices. If it acts up, doesn't meet security standards, NAC isolates it, disconnects it before it can cause any harm.
Two layers of defense there. Both pre-admission and post-admission have their uses.
Exactly. Which one you use, or both, depends, right? How secure do you need to be? What kind of data are you protecting? No one size fits all here.
This is fascinating. We've gone from like zones in a network to the actual hardware and now this super clever software all working to keep us safe.
And we're not done. We've laid the groundwork, built our fortress walls, got our security checkpoints.
Yeah.
But what about all the devices themselves? Your laptop, your phone, your tablet, they all connect to the network, right? That's where endpoint security comes in. And trust me, it's more important now than ever.
It's like they say, a chain is only as strong as its weakest link. I'm ready to explore the world of endpoint security whenever you are. It's like they say, a chain is only as strong as its weakest link. I'm ready to explore the world of endpoint security whenever you are.
It's a good analogy. We can have like Fort Knox build,
Yeah.
right? But leave one window unlocked. That's all it takes. And these days, every device is a potential window. Laptops, phones, tablets, even those smart printers. Got to secure those endpoints, no question.
Yeah, when you think about how much connects these days, it's kind of scary. So, like that old school antivirus software, is that enough anymore?
Good question. And honestly, it's like bringing a knife to a gunfight these days. Those threats out there, way more sophisticated, targeting endpoints specifically. But good news is our defenses got smarter too. EDR, endpoint detection and response, that's where it's at. Like having a security detail, but for your device.
EDR, huh? Constantly on patrol, you said.
Yeah.
Okay, so how does that work in real life?
Imagine this. You get an email. Looks totally legit. You click a link, but it's a phishing scam. Now, without EDR, you might be in trouble, malware installing itself without you even knowing, but EDR, it sees that malicious code trying to run and bam, shuts it down.
Whoa. So it doesn't just like know the bad guys' faces, it can spot them even if they're in disguise.
Exactly. It's looking for anything unusual, stops attacks before they even really start often. You might not even realize something happened.
That's wild. My document mentioned EPP too, endpoint protection platforms. Different
Okay.
game.
Different, but they work together. EDR is the rapid response team. EPP is building up the defenses in the first place, like your whole security suite, antivirus, firewall, intrusion detection, all in one package.
So EPP builds the wall, EDR is the guard patrol. Both important then.
Absolutely. And if you want to get really fancy, there's XDR, extended detection and response. This is next level. It's like mission control. Sees everything, your endpoints, your servers, cloud stuff, even your email, total view of your defenses.
Whoa, XDR's got the bird's eye view then, huh? Seeing those patterns, the connections that we might miss up close.
Exactly. It connects the dots. Let's say someone does get into a device. XDR can track them, see where they go on the network, what accounts they access, even figure out how they got in the first place. Then you can kick them out and lock down those vulnerabilities.
XDR sounds seriously powerful, like security's gone high tech.
It has. And that's the thing about network security. It never sits still. Always got to adapt, always got to be one step ahead of, the bad guys.
This has been eye-opening. I feel like I've learned so much about, like, how to actually protect myself, my data, all of it.
That's what we like to hear. The biggest thing is it's not just on, like, some tech company or the government. We all have a role to play. Being aware, having those layers of security, being cautious, that's how we make the digital world safer for everyone.
Couldn't agree more. A huge thank you to our listener for this fascinating topic. Really makes you think. And to everyone listening, remember, knowledge is power. Stay curious, stay safe, and we'll see you on the next deep dive.